What's up, Faith Church? How are we doing today? So good to see you. Shout out everybody online, all your other campuses, soon coming to other states. How good is it that God is moving in multiple states through this church? It's incredible. You guys can have a seat. My name's Paul. My beautiful wife, Farah, is sitting on the front row. I'm lucky enough that she traveled with me here. We love Pastor David and Nicole. And I know you probably hear this from every guest speaker, but some of you may not know the investment they are making and depositing into other pastors around the world. Our influence in Cincinnati is greater because your pastors pour into us. We call them our big brother and big sister. He's only a couple years older than me. But, you know, and we love their entire family. And just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for churches around the world. Huge honor for us to be here today and to share a little bit about what God has put on my heart for this house today. And every guest speaker has to introduce his family. So this is my family. I've been married to Farah for 28 years. She's the one up front that looks like she could be my daughter. But I have four kids, and my oldest, Alex, is on the left. She's 26. Gavin is 22. Eli is 19, soon to be 20. And then my middle daughter, Ansley, is 22. Three out of the four are in ministry and serving the Lord at our church. So we're so thankful for that. So thankful for that. And I am not from Cincinnati, where our church is. I've lived there over 20 years, but I'm from Georgia. Any dog fans in the house? I got one yesterday. Apparently not any Mizzou fans in the house. Okay, you guys had a good time on Thursday night. But I'm not from Cincinnati, I'm from down south, and with my wife, we say it this way: I outpunted my coverage. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Like, God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. Today, I want to ask you a question. How many of you know that bad things happen when you're not paying attention? Bad things happen when you're not paying attention. Anybody get cards passed around at work? You know, like someone has a baby and you're saying congratulations, or someone has an anniversary or a wedding. Well, sometimes cards go around at work that are sympathy cards. And if you're not paying attention, this is one. You see this one down at the bottom of the circle? With deep sympathy. Hope you have a great birthday. Bad things happen when you're not paying attention. Anybody in the service industry, how many of you are thankful for people who make the coffee in the morning and you can drive through and pick it up? I know that I am. You know, yeah, let's give it up for everybody who serves in the service industry. Well, sometimes you don't want coffee when you go to Dunkin' Donuts. You just want a water and three donuts. If you're working the drive-thru line and you are not paying attention, this is what your order comes out like. Three donuts in a water. You got to pay attention. Anybody in St. Louis? I know in Cincinnati, people will, anybody text and walk? Like, don't pay attention. I'm tall. I've been texting and not walking, and I've clocked a sign, about knocked myself out. But sometimes people don't pay attention when they're driving. And I think this guy was driving a truck. He wasn't paying attention. And this is what happened, right? And I thought it was ironic that it said, "I hope to dream." He was driving and he was hoping that he could fit under that bridge. Bad things happen when you don't pay attention. Any Star Wars fans in the house? Four of you. Awesome. Mandalorian fans in the house? My family loves The Mandalorian. Can't wait for the movie that comes out next year. But back when it first came out, my son was a young teenager, and he wanted all things Mandalorian for Christmas. And my wife was doing a little bit of Christmas shopping on her cell phone, and she found a sweatshirt for him that had, why do we love The Mandalorian? Not because of The Mandalorian, but because of Baby Yoda, because of Grogu. And she found a sweatshirt for my son, and it had Baby Yoda on it. And now I know I'm at Faith Church, and you guys are too holy to know what that can is. But if you're not paying attention, you buy a sweatshirt for your son that he can't wear to school because Baby Yoda's holding a White Claw. Baby Claw hard seltzer. And we got a great laugh about that, but I have to tell you, one of the things that can happen in my life, so babe, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. My daughter, the oldest, that was on the left in the photo, her name's Alexandria. When she was in first grade, they had all nations show and tell. So you had to bring something from, if you visited another country, you could bring something to school for show and tell. And we had been to Mexico the year before, and you know, when people grab you, like if you've ever been to Times Square and they take your picture and then they charge you for it, it was one of those kind of moments, and someone took our picture and it was super cute, and it was $5, and I said, yeah, and it was me and her, and then when they gave me the picture back, they had glued it to the front of a mini Corona bottle. Now, if you don't know what Corona is, that's beer. And it sat on a shelf in my office, and Farrah wasn't home that morning, and Al said, I got to bring something to school for show and tell, and it's got to be about another country. I'm like, well, this is the perfect. You can bring this to school. And I got a phone call from her teacher, and she said, Reverend Taylor, you need to come pick up the beer that you sent to school with your daughter. Sometimes bad things happen when you don't pay attention. Do you know how many times the word pay attention is found in the scriptures? 118 times, 59 verses in 23 books of the Bible. How many books of the Bible are there? 66. So a third of the authors of scripture tell us that when it comes to our spiritual lives, that we have to pay attention. And I've heard Pastor David say this all year, that 24 is the year of the open door, Faith Church. It's the year of more, and the year's not over yet. We got another quarter. We got four more months left. And for some of you, the way that you're going to see breakthrough in your life, the way that you're going to see God open up the doors, you know what? I feel this by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Some of you have been praying that prayer since January. God, open the door. God, open the door. God, open the door. But some of you have not been paying attention to the door that he has opened for you. You have to pay attention spiritually. And one of my favorite passages that uses this word is found in the Gospel of Mark. And how many Gospels are there in the Bible in the New Testament? That's a hint. 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you haven't yet made that decision maybe a moment ago when we prayed, you weren't quite ready to go all in, a great place to learn about Jesus is in the Gospels. And each one tells the story of Jesus' life from a different perspective. And Mark's Gospel, I love. And maybe this is you, he just cuts straight to the chase. It's 16 chapters long. In verse 1, he comes out and just tells it what it is. He says that this is the good news of the Son of God. And by the end of the first chapter, you have Jesus choosing his disciples. You have Jesus teaching. You have Jesus healing. You get into chapter 2, he's casting out devils. He's doing all of the stuff that Jesus did. And then we get to chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells two very, very famous stories or parables to illustrate spiritual truth. The first one's the parable of the seed, that when we share the word or the word of God goes out, it's like seed. It can bring a harvest depending on what kind of soil that it's going into. And how many of you, you've got good soil this morning for the word of God in your heart? You're ready to hear the word of God. Then it's going to produce a harvest, sometimes 30 or 60 or 100-fold. And then Jesus says another parable. He says that you, my followers, and if you are a follower of Jesus in this room today, you are like a lamp. You are a light. We're supposed to be a light to the world, and you never are going to cover up the lamp with a basket. So these two powerful parables, and then right after that, and we're going to pick up there in Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says it this way, and there's going to be some words that are underlined, and if you see them underlined and bolded, that means I want you to read them out loud when we get there. Can we do that? At my church at Rivers Crossing back in Ohio, I put them in blue, and then we had this cheesy little saying. I say, and if they're in blue, and everybody in the church goes, it's for you. And so we don't have blue, but we got black. So be ready when we get there. You ready? This is Jesus speaking. Then he added, pay close attention. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And there's always a but, a little warning. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to what God wants to speak to you? Are you paying attention to the voice of the Lord? And I believe that so many of us are running so fast that we fail to slow down long enough to hear God speak. So I'm going to give you three things to pay attention to. And I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher, and they all start with a P. And the first one is this. You have to pay attention to your pace. Pay attention to your pace. Everybody say pace. 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 The pace is the rate at which an object travels. And like I said, I don't know about you, but in Cincinnati, people are moving fast. The school started back. School start back here in St. Louis yet? Parents, like, man, it just starts coming at you. Like, things are just popping, and it's like it's rapid. It's so fast that sometimes we're not paying attention to our pace. Anybody remember the Ten Commandments? I hope so. We're in church. Do you know that every civilization and every culture that's flourished builds their system and structure of governance somehow on the Ten Commandments? And we see that the Ten Commandments, Jesus always elevates the Ten Commandments, but he refers to them often because they are the parameters for the covenant people of God for them to live by. And I bet you could name a few of them. Thou shalt not what? Steal. And some of you are like, I'm not a thief. Thou shalt not what? Kill. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff or their spouse for that matter. And you shouldn't have any gods before God. You should not have any idols. Like, none of you probably have little idols of gods on your mantle of your fireplace that you bow down to. But there's one of the Ten Commandments that I think that people of faith struggle with, and they break it and they don't even think twice about it. If the God of the universe, if you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, he spoke creation into existence out of nothing. Remember the story? And as he was doing that, at the end of each day, he said that it was good. He got to the day that he created human beings and he created Adam. And the only thing he saw that was not good was that Adam needed Eve. Can I get a witness? Guys, are you thankful that God created Eve? I am. But after 6 days of creating everything out of nothing, and now the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Colossians says, is holding all things together. God did what? He rested. Did he need to rest? No, he's all powerful. Why did God choose to rest? Because he set, and I want to read it to you. This is in the book of Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What's holy mean, Faith Church? I heard it like, you guys are whispering. You got to talk back. If you want me to quit preaching, I need some audience participation. It means set apart. You set apart one day a week to rest for the Lord. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. Some of you are like, my work week's 5 days. No, you got an extra day. If you got a house or you got an apartment, you got a place you live, if you've got laundry to do, if you've got grass to cut, then you have another day where you are still working for your ordinary work. And then what? But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. Now, when I read the whole counsel of Scripture, when I read the book from beginning to end, there's a difference between running too fast and not running at all. The New Testament says that the man who doesn't work doesn't what? Eat. So you gotta have vision, you gotta have pace in your life, but you have to trust God enough that one day you're going to honor the Sabbath. And I'm not here to define to you what your Sabbath looks like, but it's a day that you stop your ordinary work and you allow God to refuel you and to pour into your spirit so you can get right back into the pace that you were chasing him with. And yet, some of you are still, and I can tell by the looks on your faces, well, I'm the exception, Pastor Paul. No, you're not. No, you're not. In Mark's gospel, we were talking about Mark chapter 4, where Jesus said, pay close attention, a couple chapters earlier. See, we can get too stringent and legalistic on what the definition of Sabbath is, and they are walking with his disciples, and the disciples are hungry, and one of the disciples grabs a head of wheat, and he starts to begin to eat it, and then a legalistic Pharisee says, your disciples are eating on the Sabbath. They're not allowed to work. So they're like, he wasn't working, he was eating. And then Jesus reminded the disciples and he reminded the Pharisees of what the Sabbath is for. He said, the Sabbath is designed to be a blessing for the people and to fulfill
their needs. Do you know that when you slow down and you rest and you pay attention to your pace, God pours back into you and refills your soul? So some of you need to pay attention to your pace. One of my mentors said it this way, either you lay down or you fall down. And some of you will wear yourself out. Anybody heard of Convoy of Hope? Amazing ministry. Takes care of people in crisis all over the world. Feeds children all over the world. $500 million charity. Their founder, Hal Donaldson, just released a book. And I thought I would share this to close this point. Hal Donaldson, he found himself in like just running, not paying attention to pace, burning out, heart attack, in the hospital. And he says this, in my attempt to live up to other people's expectations and accomplish more for God. The second part of that sentence is okay. You want to accomplish more for God, but if you were living under someone else's expectations, I had maintained an unhealthy pace. Burnout is the result of misplaced priorities. Either you're running too fast or resting too little. I checked both boxes. Do you check both boxes? Maybe God sent me here today to say, pay attention to your pace. The second thing you need to pay attention to is God's presence. Pay attention to God's presence. During worship today, and isn't this house blessed with an amazing worship team? Oh my goodness, I just felt in the middle of the worship, I felt God's presence come on me. And there is nothing better than the presence of God. It does something for us. It refuels us. It recharges us. It helps us to understand that God is here and present with us. And if there's anyone in the scriptures who knew the presence of God, it's the prophet Elijah. I love Elijah. We named our son Elijah after his story. It's found in 1 Kings, and you can see him start in chapter 16. And it's a season of famine in the land because the king and queen of Israel are rebelling against God, and he brings judgment to the people. And yet Elijah's fed by the ravens. How cool is that? Like, you are hungry and God comes through. He provides. That's the presence of God. Then the brook that he was next to runs out, and so he moves on and he ends up in the home of a widow with her little son. And if you remember the story, she doesn't have much to eat. She doesn't have much to provide. And yet Elijah says that if you provide for me, if you take that last little pinch of flour and those couple of drops of oil that you have left, and you give it to God first, and we say this at our church, if you trust God with the first and the best, and you live off the rest, he will provide for you. And Elijah experienced that, and what happened? Some scholars think that two drops of oil and a pinch of flour provided for three people for 2 years. God supernaturally multiplied it. That's presence. That's amazing presence. Yet the little boy got sick and he died. And what did Elijah do, if you remember? He threw himself down, cried out to God, and God raised that little boy from the dead. When you see a resurrection, and Faith Church, listen to me. When people earlier today trusted in Christ and received Jesus for the very first time, it's just as much a resurrection from the dead as that little boy being raised from the dead. Like, there is nothing greater, there is nothing better than being raised from death to life. That's powerful. That's the presence of God. And the story keeps going. And probably my favorite chapter is 1 Kings chapter 18. And if you remember King Ahab, he had a wife, her name most people will know. Do you remember her name? Jezebel. And Jezebel had 450 false prophets of a false god named Baal. And she had 400 prophets of another false god named Asherah. And God put it in Elijah's spirit to confront those false prophets, not in secret, but in public. And he said, this is what's going to happen. I want you to gather all the false prophets of Baal. I'm going to come in the name of our one true God, Yahweh, and we're going to offer two sacrifices, two bulls. You prepare the offering, and I'll prepare the offering. You get to go first. He was a gentleman. And he said, I want you to pray to Baal and see if fire falls down from heaven to consume the sacrifice. If you know the story, they were chanting. They were crying out. In their tradition, they even did self-harm. They cut themselves. And you know what? They did it all day long. And guess what fire failed? None. Because the presence isn't in a false god. It's in the one true God. And then Elijah said, hey, I want you to do this. Before I cry out to my God, I want you to take 4 large buckets of water and I want you to douse the cow. I want you to fill the trench around it. And it says that 3 gallons of water filled the trench around the offering. And then what did Elijah do? He cried out to God. And what happened? Fire came down and consumed the offering, and it consumed it so much that it evaporated all the water. And the people of God knew that their God was real, even though they were worshiping false gods. And then Elijah did, man, and he talked some serious trash. If you want to see biblical trash talk, football season is back, and some of you are talking so much trash about your team, like biblical trash talk. After the prophets of Baal cried out and nothing happened, he said, maybe your God's taking a break. Maybe he's taking a nap. And then my favorite line of all, maybe he's relieving himself. That's in the Bible. That's some good trash talk right there. After God consumes the offering, he says, I want you to take and kill 450 prophets. I mean, amazing chapter. Turn the page. One page, 1 Kings 19. Ahab goes back to Queen Jezebel. He just did all that stuff. Took care of 450 prophets, saw the presence of God like most people will never, ever experience, and yet one woman speaks one word. And she said in 1 Kings 19, 2, if, mark my words, if I don't do to Elijah what he did to my prophets by tomorrow night, he's going to be dead. And then what did Elijah do? He turned tail. He ran the first ultra marathon. He ran 100 miles. And he was exhausted, and he was worn out, and he was at a point where literally, and listen to me, you can have experienced the presence of God at some point in your past, but if you don't hear it regularly, if you're not regularly in the presence of God on an ongoing basis, listen to me, you can get to a place where you even start thinking things like Elijah did. I don't even want to be alive, God. Why don't you just take my life? And suicidal thoughts might come into your mind if you aren't regularly coming into the presence of God. And then God says, what are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing? And then you know the story, famous story. He says, come out of the cave where you're hiding. And then 1 Kings 19, 11, and 12. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Earth, wind, and fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You guys already forgot. It's underlined, it's in bold. A still what?
Small
voice. The psalm says, be still and know that I am God. Why did I start with pace first? Because some of you are running so fast that you don't take time enough to slow down enough to hear the voice of the Lord in your life. He wants you to draw in and come close. One pastor I heard says, why does sometimes God whisper? We love it when it's the fire. We love it when it's the earthquake. But sometimes God whispers. Why? Because he wants you to draw close to him. And if you're not paying attention, then you'll miss his voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to be close to you. But you have to pay attention. I don't have this on the screens, but I felt like I needed to share it this morning. Psalm 37:7 says this, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Some of you need to stop worrying about everybody else and stop looking at all the evil people who aren't following God, and you just need to pay attention and allow God to act in your life. Stop worrying about everybody else. And then finally, the third thing, pay attention in the pain. Pay attention in the pain. Now, I know we're a house of faith. Amen? I know that we don't get wrapped up in the bad things, but I want you to remember something that Jesus said in John 16, 33. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation or trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, sometimes pain comes into our life that we don't want, but it's an opportunity for us to pay attention in the pain because God wants to do something in the middle of our pain. Sometimes when things aren't going the way that we want, and see what we tend to do, well, maybe people at my church do this. You probably don't do this, but I think a lot of times when pain comes, we go, what? But God, you said, I've been standing in the word. I've been claiming the promises, and how could this? Instead of understanding that God is present, he's there in the middle of the pain. Several years ago, I was heading to school with my son, driving him to school. He was in fifth grade, and it was that, and some of you remember this rite of passage, moms and dads, when they could move from the back seat to the front seat, and he was sitting in the front seat, and we were having an amazing conversation, and it was one of the few times my wife will tell you that sometimes I can get distracted by things when I'm driving, and I'm staring at the pretty landscape, and oh, look at that sign, and she's like, look at the road. This was one of those times because I had precious cargo in the front seat that I was locked in. I was paying attention, and we had this amazing conversation, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, it was like a bomb went off. I am talking like I didn't know what was going on, like it was an explosion, the front windshield shattered, and all I could hear was my son. I can't do it in the mic because I don't want to hurt your ears, but he was curled up in a ball, and he was just going, screaming. Like it still gives me chills to this day, and I caught a little glimpse of Brown in my peripheral vision. I don't know if you've ever been in shock. Anybody ever been in like real deal shock? Not I'm shocked that you did this or I'm shocked that you're wearing that. I'm talking about like you were in the physical state of shock. Suddenly things started feeling like they were a mile away. And I drove another 100 yards without realizing it. And I saw this little glimpse of Brown. I thought we had hit a deer. And then the next thing I know, there's an officer. And I roll down the window and it's like he's going, that's what his voice sounded like. And all I could do was say, son, are you okay? Son, are you okay? Son, are you okay? Son, are you? And he finally said, yes, Dad, I'm okay. And he had a couple of scratches, a little bit of blood. And I'll never forget when we got home, he said, Dad, how did glass get in my underwear? I'm like, I don't know, son. And I don't know if you guys have ash trees here in St. Louis, but in Cincinnati, we have ash trees. And what had happened is we were turning a corner and an old ash tree that had been eaten from the inside out by an ash borer at that exact moment. I'm not talking about a branch. Let me show you the picture. A 12-foot spire at the exact moment. See, sometimes bad things happen. Listen to me. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're doing the right thing, when you are trusting him for the future, when you want the open door, when you're sowing seed, when you're doing all the things that you know to do, sometimes a tree will just break off and fall like a missile. And all of the EMTs and fire trucks and police officers, they kept talking to Eli, trying to calm him down. They said, son, you need to go downtown right now to the casino and bet everything you have. You are the luckiest boy we've ever seen. You know why? Because if we had rolled, that tree went straight through my dash, a foot into the dash, and if we had gone one more foot, it would have gone straight through his torso and killed him on the spot. But you know what? And I keep this to this day. If you're sitting on the front row, I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if the camera will pick it up, but you can still see glass shards in this piece of that tree. You know why I hold on to this? Because in that pain, in that moment, and all the 5 months to get the car repaired and deal with insurance, you know what? We went home. If there's a day to skip school, it's the day when a tree almost kills your son, right? And you know what? Farrah and I talked, and we said, you know what? If he doesn't face this right now, he's going to be scared of cars for the rest of his life. And so what we did is we said, son, we're going to go back to school. Dad, I don't want to get in the car. I said, God has got you, buddy. And we get back in a different car, and we were driving back to school, and right before I let him out, he said, you know what? Dad, I guess God does have a plan for my life. Some of you need to know that in the pain, God has a plan for your life. Don't give up. Don't quit. What the enemy wants to do is he wants you to shrink back. What the enemy wants to do is when pain comes, he wants you to turn tail and run. When the enemy, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper if you pay attention in the pain. Let's pray. Father, God, it's good to be with your people. Thank you for this amazing church. I'm so grateful, God, to have the privilege of preaching your word. Holy Spirit, you're the one who knows all hearts. You're the one who draws out things that need to be exposed, that I don't know, that no one can know. You know. Holy Spirit, if someone needs to pay attention to their pace, God, speak to them right now. If someone needs to pay attention, God, to your presence, please let them know to be still this week and listen to the voice of God. And ultimately, if someone is walking through pain, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart. Another translation says, have courage. I have overcome the world. And God, may this church be a church of overcomers. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name.